Our next guest on the program has been making movies and television shows for more than 30 years now. Films like Risky Business, Better Off Dead, Revenge of the Nerds, TV work including Moonlighting, Supernatural, American Dad, and well over 150 IMDb credits for this terrific character actor who is so much more than that. He is such an interesting guy, author of a wonderful memoir, Revenge of the Nerd, and the author of a brand new book along with Elliot Milstein entitled A Plum Assignment, Discourses on P.G. Woodhouse and His World. We had a chance to catch up with the talented Curtis Armstrong earlier this afternoon. I love the book so much. It's sent me now to the library to read more and learn more about P.G. Woodhouse. I'd seen the series with Hugh Laurie and Stephen Fry and read some of the short stories and a couple of the novels, but it's opened some doors to me. When did this happen for you? Was it when you were living in Switzerland that you discovered P.G. Woodhouse?
Well, yeah, that was when my passion for Woodhouse began, was when I was in Switzerland. This was, you know, mid-60s. And there was an English language bookstore in Geneva where I used to go every week and buy up some of the latest, you know, Ian Flemings and that sort of thing, whatever was going that interested me. And what had happened was an English friend of mine, young guy, had offered to lend me a copy of his book, P.G. Woodhouse book called Very Good Jeeves, on the strict injunction that I give it back to him when I was done. And so I took it home and opened it up, and it was a comic revelation. I mean, it was on the level of seeing Laurel and Hardy for the first time, or Chaplin for the first time, between the pages of a book. It just, I didn't understand a lot of it, because these are books that, at his peak, he was writing in the 20s and 30s. And a lot of the characters, especially the Jeeves and Wooster characters, are written in sort of this slangy English upper crust patois, which you have to crack, really. They're unique books, and among the funniest, probably leading off, the funniest books written in the 20th century. And he wrote over 90 of them in different sagas, the Jeeves and Wooster saga, the Blandings Castle saga. There are a bunch of them. And from that moment, it was one of those book moments that those of us who are addicted to books and reading recognize, where we find something usually unexpected that is going to change our lives. And that's what Woodhouse did. So that was my interest in Woodhouse. Again, as an American from Detroit, it's not a name I was familiar with. And when I went back to the States in the late 60s, I wound up meeting this fellow at high school named Elliot Milstein, who had also developed a passion for P.G. Woodhouse, which made us, you know, very odd ducks in a suburban Detroit high school. So that was sort of the basis of our friendship. And we're still friends today, and since then, we've written numerous papers, usually comic, but all with a base in scholarship on P.G. Woodhouse. And we decided that we had two things here. We had these collections of Woodhouse papers. And which had previously been published in journals and things, and we would put them together along with a running commentary about our lives and our friendship and how all of this came to be. And so around the time that my book, Revenge of the Nerd, the one that the actual memoir that came out last year, around the time of that, we were making plans to do this that would be privately published. So when I was done with my book tour last year, we dove into it pretty solidly, and it came out this spring, available on Amazon and all local retailers.
The book is entitled A Plum Assignment, Discourses on P.G. Wodehouse and His World. And you mentioned, Elliot, that friendship, when you two came together, am I correct that you came at it with complementary tastes in Wodehouse, that you were a Jeeves guy and he was more of a Blandings fan?
Yes, exactly. That was the funny thing, is that when I was introduced to Wodehouse in Switzerland, I kept finding Jeeves books, the Jeeves Worcester books, and I was devoted to them. I mean, that was my introduction to Wodehouse. The thing is, you can read, you know, any number of the sagas. There's also the Smith saga and the Uncle Fred saga and the Golf stories, the Mulliner stories. There's a whole bunch of sagas that you can get into, in addition to just, you know, straight, you know, single novels. And it really is the luck of the draw where you wind up finding Wodehouse. I found him in Jeeves and Worcester, and Elliot found them in Blandings Castle. And I had attempted a Blandings Castle unsuccessfully because it wasn't a Jeeves Worcester. And likewise, he had attempted a Jeeves Worcester and didn't like it because Worcester was an idiot and he preferred Blandings Castle. And so over a stretch of time, as we, you know, found each other, this mutual love of this writer, it became both of our jobs to lure the other person into the saga that we loved. And that was part of what wound up being the significance of this friendship, was that it wasn't just a shared appreciation of P.G. Wodehouse. It was really discovering P.G. Wodehouse together, you know, in a way. And, you know, we talk about different types of nerd fandom, and I have always self-identified as a book nerd. And what we had was something that maybe doesn't happen quite as much as it used to. There are so many conflicting fandoms, but it still happens. It can happen with, you know, J.K. Rowling or Terry Pratchett or George R.R. Martin, or, you know, I mean, those are the big ones, famous ones, obviously, where two young people can discover something and realize that it's already a part of their lives, and it just sets them off on a lifetime of reading.
Yeah, when I was a young man, and I don't even know if they're good books, but I know there was a time with a small group of friends when we got caught up in the Horatio Hornblower stories.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's a perfect example. Another one would be Patrick O'Brien in the same style. The sort of Napoleonic naval adventures. That's definitely one that would be comparable. And in fact, Elliot and I both went through a thing with Patrick O'Brien. I had already gone through the Hornblower books. So there are things that are out there. The beauty of reading, the gift that is constantly being given, is either because someone recommended it or you just saw it in a bookstore and thought it looked interesting, you pick it up and it becomes a light goes on, and you realize that you're never going to see the world in quite the same way because you found something that is going to add immeasurably to your life. It happened to me three times. Wodehouse was one. And Sherlock Holmes, the Conan Doyle Sherlock Holmes stories, was another one. And, excuse me, and the third one was Washington Irving, the American.
Oh, yes.
writer Washington Irving. And in these three cases, in two of the three, I was very fortunate. With the Sherlock Holmes and the P.G. Wodehouse, there were communities out there, more all the time, where I could go and share my love of these books. There's always, you know, any city you go to is going to have a Sherlock Holmes Society in it. Many of them have a P.G. Wodehouse Society. So you can always find that. Washington Irving was harder. And I've spent most of my adult life collecting first editions of Washington Irving and reading and rereading and, you know, all this of Washington Irving, but doing it pretty much in solitude, because not that many people read Washington Irving. And just recently, I had been in touch with a biographer of Washington Irving who invited me to take part in a symposium next year at Washington Irving's home on the Hudson, where it's going to be an international gathering of Washington Irving scholars who are going to get together and do papers and, you know, get private tours of his home and all of this. And I've been included in this.
Well, that's wonderful.
And it's so exciting because, for me, the prospect of spending 2 days with people who know what I'm talking about when I talk about Washington Irving, I can barely wait, you know, till it happens.
We're talking with Curtis Armstrong here on Downtown. Now, I understand that Ashley, your editor, really changed
Ashley
the focus of the book and turned this into, and in many ways, it's the story of how your friendship with Eliot grew from your love of Wodehouse.
Right, yes. Ashley Polisak, who I met through the Sherlock Holmes world, she is a brilliant Sherlockian and all-around Renaissance woman. And in the past, she actually belongs to a group that I have sort of a connection with called the Baker Street Babes. Ashley is one of the Baker Street Babes. And it's a very sort of small, pretty closed, all-female society. But I have been lucky enough to be friends with a number of the women in that group. And Ashley writes a great deal. She's a teacher, a college professor, and she has written a lot on Wodehouse, on Sherlock Holmes, but she's also a big Wodehouse fan. And when Eliot and I started putting a plum assignment together, I was really aware of the fact that we were floundering. We had already written all of the pieces, but finding how to connect them was the difficulty, turning it into something that wasn't just a collection of scholarly yet humorous articles. And on sort of a spur of the moment, I approached Ashley about it and sent her the stuff, and she saw how it could be turned into an actual book and not just a privately published collection of essays. And we owe her an immeasurable debt of gratitude, because to the extent that it was possible to turn this into an actual book, she's responsible.
Now, is her greatest...
She's our editor, but honestly, we could go on and on about the breadth and depth of her contribution.
Was her greatest a piece of editing, choosing not to print the entirety of Eliot's undergraduate thesis?
Yes. Well, that was you have to read the book to appreciate why that's funny. But he did. He wrote his undergraduate thesis on the novels of P.G. Wodehouse, which, if you know about just the sheer number, it's a staggering accomplishment to do for an undergraduate thesis. But he did that. And then he went through the rest of his adult life wanting to publish this thing. And once we started, now that was many years ago. That was in the mid-70s that he did this. And it reads, it's very informative and very well-researched, but it is an undergraduate thesis. And, you know, not really general reading, and as theses tend to be. And so once we started assembling this, you know, then he started making the noises about including the thesis. And the agreement that we finally, all three of us, came to was that he needed to just do some discrete editing, and it would appear in the book, finally. So he's like a ghost who's been haunting the same back road for so long, looking for something, and you finally put the ghost together with whatever it was he was looking for, and then the ghost stops haunting the road. So it's there, and obviously it was a valuable inclusion. It just needed a little work to get it to fit in sort of thematically to everything else.
Well, because he's the scholarly one of the two, and you're the clever one, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, he also is has one of the largest collections of Woodhouseiana, I think, in the United States, certainly, and maybe one of the top five or so in the world. Massive collection. In a lot of ways, he's sort of like I am with Washington Irving and Holmes. My interest in these authors tends to be two things. It tends to go the depth of study that comes from being a scholarly, you know, fan, but also a collecting thing. So my Irving collection and my Holmes collection are very extensive, not on the level of his Woodhouse collection. But that's another thing that we have in common, is we're bibliophiles. And the actual physical book is an important part of our love of appreciating the writer.
And there is crossover, some overlap in the worlds of Woodhouse and Conan Doyle. They were friends and knew each other well. Certainly,
that's right.
Woodhouse was a big fan of the work of Conan Doyle, and several references in his works to Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, there are references all through Woodhouse's work where he makes Sherlock Holmes jokes. Because he was, I mean, you know, he was born in 1888. He grew, you know, which was basically, he was born at the time that Doyle started writing the Sherlock Holmes stories. He came up through that period as a boy reader. And, you know, it's easy to forget that, you know, boys especially of Woodhouse's generation, you know, Sherlock Holmes was like Harry Potter would be to kids now. I mean, they were obsessed with him.
Right.
And so when he became a journalist himself in London around the turn of the century, and when he started writing school stories directed to schoolboys, really, but much in the style that he would become famous for, he would always put in Sherlock Holmes references. And until he died, there were still Sherlock Holmes jokes, because it was like with him, it was Sherlock Holmes and Shakespeare, the big influences. So yeah, and they played cricket together, Marylebone Cricket Club, I think. So they were definitely friends.
Woodhouse lived to a ripe old age. Did his late career writing suffer any because of the fact that he was sort of on a self-exile here in America?
No, I think if anything, it improved his chances. I mean, the interesting thing about Woodhouse is to go back to his theatrical career, to his Hollywood career. There was a period when he lived in Hollywood and wrote screenplays. He had five plays running at one time, musicals, running at one time in New York on Broadway. He had a wide variety of areas in which he sort of specialized. And so for him, it was, he had been in England, he had been doing everything there and publishing at the same time in the U.S. But when he went to the U.S., suddenly his audience exploded. And he became much more famous, I think, worldwide, or certainly in the U.S., as a result of being here.
Now, Curtis, do I remember correctly that he collaborated with Jerome Kern?
Yes, Jerome Kern was one of his, Guy Bolton and Jerome Kern and P.G. Wodehouse were a group of writer, lyricist, for musical comedies. They were called the Princess Musicals. They were based at the Princess Theater in New York, the old Princess Theater. And the Princess Theater, Wodehouse and Bolton and Kern were, you know, names that were mentioned in one breath. In fact, there was a famous poem that everyone says, although I guess there's no absolute confirmation of this, was written by Dorothy Parker. And it was called Bolton and Wodehouse and Kern, and it was a tribute to the three of them because of all of these amazing, really groundbreaking musical comedies. They were the beginning of the American idea of a musical comedy from the standpoint that there was a book. It wasn't just strings of numbers that were strung together for musical purposes. It's really the beginning of the book musical. And Wodehouse was both book writer and lyricist, and he also worked with the Gershwin brothers. He worked with a lot of people. Ian Hay, the Scottish playwright, he worked with a lot of people in New York during that period.
So where would you recommend newcomers start in their initiation to the works of P.G. Wodehouse?
Well, it's a different. It's always a, you know, like taking Eliot's in my experience as an example. It can be a little tricky because you can start on Jeeves and Wooster and decide you don't like it and just forget about everything. But if you start, I would start people just taking a chance. I would start people on a book called Right Ho Jeeves, and it's arguably the greatest Jeeves Wooster story, with at least one set piece that is one of the great comic set pieces ever written of the century, which is a prize giving ceremony at a school. And it sounds ridiculous that would have any comic potential, but it's famous. So I would say start with Right Ho Jeeves. And if you're interested in Blanding's Castle, which is the other major saga, then I would suggest starting with Summer Lightning.
Curtis Armstrong, we had a chance to catch up with him earlier today. His new book with Eliot Milstein, A Plum Assignment, Discourses on P.G. Wodehouse and His World.